Oh, yes. Let's get to work here indeed. Welcome to Article 5 Live, coming to you from somewhere in the formerly great state of Arizona, talking to you from the radio bunker. I'll cop to somewhere in Maricopa County, the dreaded Maricopa County, the infamous Maricopa County. Coming to you, you know, I'll start with a word about the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors completely ignoring a subpoena from the Arizona State Senate regarding the auditing of the voting machines. Absolutely unbelievable the degree of disregard for the rule of law that is rampant throughout every institution in our country right now. It's pushing us to the brink of a very, very unprecedented position in the United States of America. It's exciting. It's horrific. It's terrifying. It's all the above. It's 1776 in 2020. So we're going to talk about many aspects of this. I spent a great deal of time this weekend reading Article 2 of the Constitution, the 12th Amendment to the Constitution, USC Title 3. I've been reading Title 3 of the USC, all the different sections, because I heard conflicting reports on what can happen on January 6th, you know, and it really disturbed me. And later on, I'm going to get to what my conclusion of that was. I'm not a lawyer, but I can read. And many people that are reporting on USC Title III of the U.S. Code, they might be able to read, but they're not using that skill before they open their traps. So it's very interesting what is happening in this regard. I got a lot of videos tonight because there's so many subjects that we have to cover. And our good friends at Band have been doing a good job at covering a lot of these. So let me first get to the... I want to go first for the Trump calling for us to actually show up in D.C. on the 6th. So let's talk about that for a minute. Let me get this. Let me share this with you. Let's go to. Let's go to this video real quick and check it out.
President Trump has fired the bat signal. Earlier today, he released a video on Twitter titled "Fight for Trump to Save America and to Save the World." And literally, that's what's happening. I said on the night of the election, November 3rd, when they closed the doors, covered up the windows, claimed the counting stopped, that they were bringing in all those tens of millions of fake ballots that had been fraudulently filled out to stuff the ballot box and steal the election from the American people because all the previous coups had failed. And I said then, President Trump, you can't trust the courts, you can't trust the system, you've got to get behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office and call out the Chi-Coms and call out Hollywood, who they own, and call on the American people by the tens of millions to peacefully rise up and occupy the capitals and occupy the swamp in Washington, D.C. Now, you supported the last few marches that were big, 500,000 here, a couple hundred thousand there in D.C. But now you've finally done the right thing and called on the American people yesterday to occupy D.C. coming up on January 6, 2021. And that is amazing. And everyone should be there. This is so historic. This is so critical. But beyond that, you've now got to give the Resolute Desk speeches calling out the New World Order and totally leveling with the American people. It's the only shot we've got of stopping this electoral coup that is the biggest fraud ever seen in U.S. history. But regardless, you have fired the bat signal. We salute you. We thank you for your courage. And here is the video that President Trump tweeted. I hope everyone shares it, and I hope everyone responds to this emergency call.
Yeah, so it's really quite interesting that the president would call on the American public to show up in D.C. on the 6th. It indicates to me that the Q rumors of martial law are really not really the way the president wants things to go. So let's get into a little bit of what United States Code Title 3 talks about, because I was getting these reports on Newsmax that the vote that would take place after an objection would be a popular vote by, you know, how the Senate would go to their chamber and the House would go to their chamber. There would be 2 hours of deliberation on each state after an objection to that state's slate of electors. All that's correct. Now, the way things will play out on that, the Senate will most likely reject the governor-certified slate from, let's say, for instance, the state of Arizona. And the House would most likely vote to accept the governor-signed slate. So there would be a contested resolution on that state. So when they come back and meet, there is no actual prescription in the law of how what has to go next. It does say that in Section 6 of that U.S. Code Title 3, something about the certified one will win, but it's confusing. It's convoluted language. It goes back and forth, but it does say that the presiding officer, which will be Vice President Pence, He could call for a joint vote on that state's electors in a delegation vote. In other words, one state, one vote delegation. If Pence does that, then there's going to be about 6 states' electoral votes that are rejected. And the result of that, as you would know, would mean no candidate, either Trump or Biden, would have 270 electoral votes, in which case it would once again go back to the House of Representatives only for a delegation vote, which would most likely turn up in President Trump's favor, and he would be reelected as president of the United States. And it's kind of apparent by, I'll reiterate, the president's plea for us to come and show our strength and his support, the strength of his support in Washington, D.C. on the 6th, that is the way he wants to go. And he doesn't want to go with the Insurrection Act and a forced military-controlled election. There's actually laws against that, so it's controversial. There's lawyers that say he can do it. There's lawyers that say he can't do it. At this point in time, the idea that you're going to have a court-based remedy to this horrific nonsense is absolutely... Welcome back, Marissa Bishop, out of Facebook jail. It's probably absolutely unlikely that we will have any remedy of any court, no matter how much evidence. And as you know, there has not been one bit of evidence heard in a courtroom. They have not allowed any evidence to be heard. So when the media brags all this crap about all these cases have been rejected. No, they haven't. Not one of them's been heard, for God's sake. There's been no evidence heard. There's been no discovery even allowed. They have dismissed every single case out of hand at every level. And with the Supreme Court abrogating their responsibility to address Texas suing the other four states, with 18 signatories, along with 100 amicus briefs and however many amicus briefs there were, and over 100 other legislatures signing on to the lawsuit, they decided to just say, well, we're not going to hear this. Now, the reports that the Chief Justice was, was screaming at everyone that you can't do it. It's likely untrue because they said they were in the chamber and the Supreme Court is working from home right now. So unless he's screaming in a Zoom meeting, I don't know if I buy into that or not. But the idea that Chief Justice Roberts would abrogate his responsibility should be of no surprise to anyone. Because he is absolutely unwilling to discharge the proper responsibility of the Supreme Court, as evidence the first time and the worst time. Well, not the worst time. This is the worst time. But I mean the first time with Obamacare when he rewrote law from the chamber of the Supreme Court. So we know Roberts is compromised in one way or another. I'm not sure how he's compromised. I don't know if it's... all the ways you can be compromised, it's apparent he is, and I don't know which way it is. Okay, so that is the problem with the judicial remedy to the stolen election. There's multiple problems with trying to assert the Insurrection Act. I think the Q stuff is, if you're relying on that, God bless your heart, as they say in the South, because I don't think that stuff's going to happen. I think it's probably a counter, one of these very complicated disinformation campaigns from people that say they're on their side or not on their side, and they're actually wanting the stuff to continue the way it was before Trump. And the way to get it is to lead everybody down the wrong road so we don't get the real constitutional solution. Many people say that. Robert Barnes, working directly for the President of the United States, that's his legal opinion. He's a constitutional attorney that knows a lot. I don't have a lot of faith in the Q stuff, never have. And I'm not talking about QAnon. I have zero faith in the QAnon stuff because that's just there. That could be one of a thousand different people, interpreting the Q posts and all that stuff. I never, those of you that believe in that stuff, that'd be nice if it's true. I wouldn't hang my hat on it, though. We better get our asses to D.C. And now that's what I want to get back to right now. I am personally considering going to D.C. My sweetheart pointed out to me, are you going to be able to forgive yourself if you don't go? She's not telling me to go. She's not telling me to not go. She just asked me that question a couple different times yesterday. And now today she doesn't want me to go because she's afraid how dangerous it might be and all this stuff. And I'm looking at the logistics. Of whether I can make it there or not, whether I want to drive there, whether I'm going to recruit somebody to, you know, ride shotgun with me on the way down there or whatever. So more to come on that. I'll know by next show, next week, whether I'm going to D.C. or not. But the old lady has a point there. Will I be able to forgive myself if I don't go? Oh, and by the way, thanks for joining me tonight. And if I don't get a chance to talk to you all again before the celebration of the birth of our real King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of us believe that anyway. In other words, Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I want you peace, health, and happiness to you and all your family. In case I don't say that in this broadcast, I want to get that out there. And I always obviously had the Christmas theme going tonight. So I want you to know that it's really hard for me to get in the Christmas spirit this year because I'm absolutely 100% consumed with all the stuff going on. It's really, really, really hard to get into the Christmas spirit. So I'm trying my best, and I hope that you have a great one. So by next week, I'll know whether I'm going to D.C. or not. I think that everyone that can should. I kind of want to recruit somebody that's familiar with the town. I've never been there. So to go there with, you know, millions and millions of people, you know, let's do it. You know, I don't know. Maybe we can get a caravan starting in the West here and we can all go or something, because I don't know what the hell to do over there, to be honest with you. I'm a little worried about the logistics. I think I want to take a vehicle I can sleep in, because I can't rely on, with 10 million people potentially going to D.C., where the hell are you going to get a hotel room, okay? I could fly, but then you're going to get an Uber with 10 million people extra in town? I don't think so. So these are the things I'm thinking about. What is the most practical way to do it? And I think driving is, really. I can make it in 2 days. I ain't as young as I used to be. I could drive the 34 hours straight at one time. I think I'd have to take a little nap. Now that I'm a little older, I probably have to take a nap in the middle of that driving. But I figure 2 days is easy money to get to D.C. from Central Arizona here. I'm serious about it. I'm seriously considering going. So you guys know how to get a hold of me on my Facebook, on my YouTube. You can contact me at jd@article5live@gmail.com. If you want to coordinate, you want to get a caravan going, I'm open to that kind of stuff, okay? So I wanted to get that out of the way and talk to you guys about that. I also want to let you in on the fact that there's a slight possibility we could be joined tonight by Lieutenant General Michael A. Spaulding, USAF retired, who has done some work in the Pentagon, as well as been an advisor to the Trump administration on items considering the Chinese Communist Party and these kinds of things. He's been on my radio show quite a few times. Michael A. Spaulding, retired USAF Lieutenant General, has been on my show before. He hasn't been on the digital, but it was kind of a late reach out, so I don't know if he's going to make it. But we're going to get Michael Spaulding on the program. Maybe not tonight, or maybe tonight. The open invitation is out there. I don't know. He might be a little busy because you know, because he is an expert in things, all things Chinese Communist Party, and spent some time living over there and has advised people in the Pentagon about the Chinese takeover of all of our institutions here in the USA, he's probably been tapped by the administration at this crucial time in our history. And I would not be surprised if he is too busy to come on the show right away. So, but we're reached out to him, and he's been more than cordial with the program before. So we're trying to get a hold of Michael A. Spaulding. So we have that going on. And now some of the other things I wanted to get into tonight are, there's a lot of people that have lost heart and lost faith in trying to fight for this president. And, you know, that's the wrong thing. We can never give up. We can never give up. Trump has not given up. As long as he doesn't concede, we still have constitutional remedy for this stolen election. Now, with the pressure of millions of people heading into D.C., the Congress is going to do the right thing. I think the new senator, who will hopefully be seated in time, has already, Tommy Tuberville, the former great coach of Alabama, I believe he has already committed that he would be a senator that would object to the slate of electors from the states in question. And it only takes one senator and one House of Representatives. There's about a dozen in the House of Representatives that are pledged to be objectives. And four or five senators have hemmed or hawed, but they don't want to say for sure, because Mitch McConnell has shown his true colors as a surrender monkey to the Chinese Communist Party, given his wife Elaine Chao the transportation secretary. Mitch McConnell has married into a billionaire Chinese shipping mogul family, and we now know where Mitch's loyalties lie, and are not with the United States of America. Mitch McConnell is an absolute turncoat. Now, we have another problem with the judiciary thing that I want to talk about for a little bit here. One of the reasons Trump can't get any remedy in the courts is because all these judges he's put in, including the Supreme Court judges, were Mitch's suggestions, most of them, or the Heritage Foundation, which is no friend of President Trump's, regardless of what these quote-unquote phony-ass conservatives say. So Trump has been loading up the courts with establishment types, which is probably better than the activist Democrats on some level, but really not that much. Because as we can see, when the rubber meets the road, when there's a constitutional issue, when there's an election that's been stolen, they don't want to touch that. They don't have the courage or the will, because, you know, the establishment, let's just say this. If you believe that the Democrats are the only ones that have used fraudulent voting systems in order to stay in or get into office, I think you're quite naive, because I believe both parties cheat. Now, the Democrats might be more blatant about it, more in your face with it, but I think both parties are probably doing it. And that's why there's so much resistance to cleaning it up. Because think about it. If the Republicans were doing the right thing, wouldn't they all, whether they like Trump or not, jump on the bandwagon to get rid of the corruption? Well, of course they would. But instead, they surrender to the Democrats. I've been saying it for years. These absolute scoundrels in the Republican Party are perfectly happy to play second fiddle to the Democrats and claim to be the loyal opposition. Meanwhile, knowing they have no power and can't do a damn thing about it because they're in a minority, they can still get your money and your vote by saying, oh, we object to these Democrats doing all this stuff. Yet whenever we give these jerks power, they don't do a damn thing to fix anything. They never have. And if we don't get these establishment types out of the Republican Party, this country's finished. We're almost finished right now. We're just barely hanging on. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of people here in the state of Arizona and elsewhere that think a third party is the solution. And here's my message to you. If you want to make sure you finish off the United States of America, continue to drive the wedge in the Republican Party right now, and we can't afford it, by saying, oh, you got to go third party. What bull crap is that? Okay, because it's lame and just despicable that establishment Republicans are. We still need the numbers because of the structure of our bicameral House and Senate. We have to support Republicans, even the despicable ones. I voted for Martha McSally for Senate, for God's sake. And that was the last person I wanted to see retain a Senate seat in the United States, except I think Mark Kelly's going to be worse. It's the old, you know, lesser of two evils things. But here's the point. The way forward is not third party. The way forward is to have populists and Trumpists take over the Republican Party. Under President Trump's lead, we can kick the old school bastards to the curb, and we can put America first patriots and populate the positions of power in the Republican Party with people. Thank good I have a pop filter with all those P's. Anyway, patriots, America first patriots in the positions of power. We can reclaim our republic with the Republican Party, which makes perfect sense if we put people in the Republican Party that actually knows that this is a republic and not a democracy. Peacemaker for You agrees with me. Thank you. I'll put your tweet up there. See, so I thank you for all your good comments. I'm not trying to ignore you guys. We'll get to that later. I just have a lot of things I have to get off my chest. Thank you for all your wonderful comments. I'm not ignoring you. I have a plethora of comments we can go back through from you guys. But let me get some more of this stuff out, because in the last half hour, we'll do a big exchange with comments. I'll put some of your comments that you made on the screen. We'll discuss them and all that stuff in the last half hour. This is a three half hour program. So in the first half, we have me. Usually we have a guest on the second half. I still have the phone line open for Lieutenant General Spaulding. It doesn't look like he's going to call in, but that's okay. I can certainly fill that second half hour in with my commentary. And then toward the last half hour, we're going to open it up for all your comments, and we're going to discuss what you said on there. But first, the next thing I want to do is I want to play you another video about Will Trump declare martial law. So let me share this screen with you. Let's go to this one. And let's... I got to go here. Sorry, I have to do this stuff on the fly because I am my own engineer here, folks. Here we go. Let's check this one out. All right. Check this video out.
Now we're at this point where we're discussing what the president should do, and he's actually trial ballooning using the military to go after communist Chinese agents in the United States and hold a new emergency election in these five states. They're the ones that stole the election. They're the ones that started this fight. They're the ones that did all of this. And so President Trump puts out the idea of martial law through his surrogates, then comes out and says, I'm not proposing it, to CNN.
But the truth is, he understands the public doesn't understand where we're at and how we're being captured by a foreign power. If a foreign power is taking you over, if we were invaded by a foreign nation, what would the federal government do? It would declare a martial law in those areas, and we would go to war with that foreign army.
So there you go. There's what Alex says about that stuff. So, and it's a good point that he makes. But once again, there's many people that say, that constitutional scholars that say that there's no legality to him forcing the military on us for another election. But there's other people that say there is legality to it, to the Insurrection Act. So it's going to be a big fight if we do it that way, we even within our own ranks on that one. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I think that maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say stuff that's going to get us all in trouble, but I can tell you that after January 20th at high noon, we're going to know a lot more about what options we have left. Okay. Because that's going to be the time. January 20th, 12:01 Eastern time. There's going to be a call to action. The only question is, what is going to be that call to action? Because like I've said many times on this broadcast before, there's about 14 million highly trained individuals that took an oath to defend and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you ask every single one of those individuals if they're not any longer active in whatever service they made that pledge to, and if you ask them if that oath has expired or when that oath expires, and they will say, well, that oath expires when I expire. That's what they say. Now, if you think a bunch of ragtag ISIS assholes and a few meth head black BLMers and Black Lives Matter robotic idiots are going to scare those people, I'm afraid you have another thing coming. So laugh it up, you leftist morons, because your perceived victory at best is a Pyrrhic victory. You've sealed your own political self-destruction with what you've pulled. No matter how this goes in the next few weeks, leftists have sealed their fate in this country. Now, I'm not a soldier. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not a badass. I'm a half-crippled old man with a big mouth. But I've been studying history for about 50 years. And I've been watching our politics and our culture. And I can tell you this. America is rising in the face of this adversity. And any of you that have given up on our president, he hasn't given up on you. So get up out of your stupor. Those of you that are depressed and have given in to the surrender monkeys on Fox News and even Newsmax, wake up, because Trump's not done. And even if they do somehow install the fake, phony, Chi-Com compromised old pedophile, senile Joe Biden, the long knives are out for him even in his own party. So don't forget, it's going to be President Camel Toe. And don't forget, you lefties, She couldn't even garner 1% of your vote in your own party. Yet, through your stupidity, that's who you've put in there. It's amazingly ironic. So if that happens, which I think there's a very, very good chance that President Trump will be inaugurated on the 20th. After all, why do you suppose they're building the inauguration stage when Mr. Biden has pledged that he is going to do a virtual inauguration? Only for the fact that the only people that would show up would be pro-Trump people that would shout his ass down. And that's why they cannot risk a public appearance of Joe Biden to be inaugurated. Of course, they'll blame it on COVID nonsense is what they'll do. But they're building the stage for inauguration because it is anticipated that Donald J. Trump will be re-inaugurated as president of the United States. And once again, I'll bring up the point. Why hasn't Kamala Harris resigned her Senate position? You know, why hasn't she stepped down? Think about that. Is it because she's ultra confident that she's going to be the vice president of the United States? No, it's because she's not that confident. The only way that Kamala Harris would resign her Senate is if Donald J. Trump concedes. And guess what, my good friends? That's not going to happen. He's not going to concede even if they try to inaugurate Biden. This is a mess. The left has stirred up the proverbial hornet's nest of patriots. We have people on our side, my good friends, that have not even thought about politics in ever, maybe, that are now saying to themselves, wait a minute. I can't go to a football game. I can't go to a concert. I can't go to a movie theater. I can't go to a restaurant. You want me to wear a mask in public when I know damn well a mask doesn't do anything, and you're going to eventually try to force inoculate me one way or another through corporations or whatever. And I have a small business. You're going to put me out of business, yet Walmart is thriving. Bezos has doubled his wealth over this period of time, and all the major corporations are in business, and all the mom and pops are going out of business. How is that to anybody's advantage, whether you're a lefty or whether you're on the right? It's not, is the answer. This is enslavement and the destruction of the American economy, which because of Trump's wily coyote, only better than that, actions to counteract the attack of the COVID reaction on our economy. Our economy is thriving in spite of all this stuff. Now, the mom and pop businesses are dying, barely hanging on, the ones that haven't folded yet. The Great Reset plan is in full swing. The globalists are trying to kill the small business and give all that wealth to the bankers and the big corporations. Then they want to inject you with something that's going to actually change your DNA so they can patent your ass. And if you think I'm exaggerating, you better do your damned research before you take that shot. Now, on the other hand, there's many, many Americans rebelling against this thing, waking up to all the dangers that I just pointed out and the eventualities that they are planning for all of us. And people are not putting up with it. But I have another video I want to share with you guys that is really quite troubling. And I want you to take a look. I want you to take a listen to this and see what you think. Did I just... Oh, no. I think I just... Yeah, I did. Oh, that's terrible. Let me find it real quick. Oh, here it is. I want to share this with you. All right. This is very alarming. I want you to check this out with me. Another video from our friends at band.video. It's entitled, Forced Inoculation is Here. Enjoy on this pre-Christmas show on Article 5 Live. I'm JD, your host. Here we go.
Let me lay something on you that is absolutely horrifying to anyone that is informed or read history. Federal agency says employers can require workers to get COVID vaccine. That's like saying an employer could make you have an abortion, or an employer could make you snort cocaine. In fact, that might be better for you than this. The new so-called vaccines, mRNA vaccines, aren't even vaccines. They're mutagenic Franken systems that on record go in and reprogram billions and billions of cells in your body to produce proteins. And top scientists, the head of the EU Research Commission, are on record saying that it creates a protein, just the Pfizer vaccine alone for COVID-19, that attacks the placenta in pregnant women. This is all about population control, and they want to stampede you into total submission. That's just the latest at InfoWars.com. And now Tucker Carlson, valiantly on Thursday and Friday night of last week, came out to the world and said, they're saying prioritize the vaccine to black people as if it's a form of reparations, with all the secret testing that's been done on black people. But see, that's how they hide it. Oh, there's not enough of it. Everybody wants it. It's so scarce, like a rare Christmas toy or a certain car you can't get. Oh, it's in such demand. And so, oh, we want to give it to the black people first. This is Bill Gates on record, who's been run out of Tanzania and Kenya and other African countries, being caught adding sterilants to vaccines. He's been run out of India. He's been run out of Pakistan. And now he runs this global program, and he's saying he really wants it for black people. They admit that Gates is running the vaccine rollout in the UK, in Europe, and partially here in the US. This is one of the great failures of Trump going along with this, because he doesn't understand the science. But regardless of Trump, we are opposing this. And now CNN is calling for Tucker Carlson to be removed off the air because he's not with the science. They go, with the science, with the science, with the science? They didn't do animal testing on these things. They're having horrible adverse reactions, but they say they're safe and effective. Some people have died. And what does it do long term? We don't know, because the long term studies were skipped. So there's been amazing reports that Tucker Carlson's put out. They're on InfoWars.com. They're obviously at Fox News. I don't know how long he's going to be on air telling the truth like this, but this is historic and it's an emergency warning. So please, they are coming with forced inoculations. They are coming with tyranny. They are coming with control. And 10, 20 years from now, when your son or daughter is sterile, well, then they'll have some vaccine damage fund that quietly pays out the damages, because they already set that up in 1986. Here's Tucker Carlson.
The concern isn't simply the vaccine. It's the people in charge of the vaccine and their basic moral rottenness. Americans understand that many of our leaders really don't care about them. They don't care about human beings in general. They are ideologues. They're religious fanatics who worship their secular gods, money, power, wokeness. Whether their policies help or hurt individuals doesn't seem of great interest to them. These are the people who removed police from poor neighborhoods because it made them feel less guilty about their own pampered lives and their own ill-gotten wealth. As a result of that decision, many Americans died, including small children, but they kept doing it. They never apologized. Human suffering seemed irrelevant to them. It was the theory that mattered. Unfortunately, some of these very same people, the worst in our already unimpressive professional class, are now in charge of the coronavirus vaccine, and that should make you nervous. Tonight, officials of the CDC are debating how to distribute the vaccine, who gets it first, and on the basis of what criteria. That decision will, to some extent, determine who lives and who dies. It's a big decision, and it shouldn't be complicated. According to the CDC's own models, the way to save the most Americans is to give the vaccine to frontline healthcare workers first, and then to the elderly, meaning people over the age of 65. Older people are by far the most vulnerable, as we now know well. Every other age group has a survival rate of over 99.9%. That's why in Britain, authorities are getting the vaccine to the elderly as quickly as they can. But in this country, a panel of ideologues at the CDC has decided that the elderly should not be at the front of the line. The Center's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices has made a different determination. And the reasoning is simple. Old people in this country are too white to save. Now, that sounds shocking because it is shocking, but they put it in writing. The CDC's Vaccine Advisory Committee unanimously approved recommendations last month from a doctor called Kathleen Dooling. According to Dooling's presentation, it is true that more lives would be saved if the elderly received priority access to the vaccine. But here's the problem. Quote, racial and ethnic minority groups are underrepresented among adults age 65 and older. Therefore, the elderly should not be a top priority. According to the CDC's panel, another group, those officially classified as, quote, non-healthcare essential workers, should get the vaccine first. Well, why is that? Quote, racial and ethnic minority groups are disproportionately represented in many essential industries, end quote. In other words, it's entirely racial. They're making the decision based on race. Kathleen Dooling's presentation concluded that doling out life-saving medicine on the basis of skin color would, quote, mitigate health inequities. Of course, it would kill people, and she effectively concedes that. But the people it would kill come from a disfavored race, so it's not a big deal. It's been a very long time since anyone close to what we would consider the mainstream has endorsed eugenics. And that's exactly what that is. It's eugenics. But suddenly it's everywhere. Earlier this month, the New York Times, supposedly our greatest newspaper, interviewed a leading expert on medical ethics and vaccination at the University of Pennsylvania. He's a man called Harold Schmidt. Here's how Harold Schmidt advised the CDC. Quote, older populations are whiter. Society is structured in a way that enables them to live longer. Instead of giving additional health benefits to those who already have more of them, we can start to level the playing field a bit. Level the playing field. That means intentionally causing people's deaths because they're the wrong color. When was the last time you heard someone say something like that out loud in this country? Probably not since around 1945. That's when we all agreed that letting certain people die because of their race was bad public policy, not to mention evil. But suddenly our leaders have forgotten that lesson. It's like the Second World War never happened. In the same New York Times piece that quotes Harold Schmidt, yet another doctor makes a similar point. His name is Mark Lipsitch. He's an epidemiologist at Harvard. Here's why he thinks teachers should not be included in the now favored category of non-healthcare essential workers. Quote, teachers have middle-class salaries, are very often white, and they have college degrees. In other words, wrong color, not essential. Is the hair on anyone else's arm standing up? What the hell is going on? Talk like that from the people in charge makes the population highly paranoid and fearful about the future, and it should.
Ladies and gentlemen, we always warned you about it. It was the main goal of the Rockefeller Foundation, the main role of Bill Gates. Forced inoculations are here. The EEOC says to have a job, you can be made to have it. And now across the planet, big corporations are joining together to mandate it, setting up corporate world government. So this is how they force vaccines. They don't say the government makes you do it, but the corporations make you do it, and they're the essential corporations and businesses. All the other small businesses are now being shut down with the very COVID lockdown, and now they can enforce you to do whatever they want to your body. And now they're saying if you get welfare, you've got to take the vaccines. Well, tens of millions more people in the U.S., hundreds of millions worldwide are going on welfare because they were forced out of work onto it. And now, because the government gives them, quote, their money, the government says they own them. This is all about world government and depopulation. Tyranny is here. Forced inoculations are here. It isn't speculation now. This is organized violence. This is criminal racketeering, organized crime coming at you and your family, directed by Bill Gates and the UN. This is a criminal physical assault that violates the Nuremberg Code and the Geneva Convention.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you, our good friends at Band.Video once again laying out the truth. Now, you know, there was a time where I was on the anti-AJ bandwagon only because I couldn't stand the theatrics, what I used to call theatrics. Now I understand it's just passion and aggregate of all the 30 years of research and study driving a man to the point of absolute frustration because people won't be warned. And he once said that, you know, I was confident that if I just laid out the truth of what they're doing, people would want to fight. Here we have people now that know on the left that know what they're saying or what they're doing is wrong. Yet, and they know it is. They know it's false, but yet they will still fight for it. It is incredible. It's a psychological condition. There was a study done in the 60s that I forget what they called it. I forget all the doctors involved, but they had these people saying, you know, they were showing them two lines and the guy is saying, no, that's three lines because of the conditioning. So these people are under like a Svengali spell. They've been listening to their cultish, diatribes for so long, they have no open mind for facts presented to them right in front of their face. It's really quite extraordinary. So it is actually, Deborah, it is beyond ignorance. It is something. Some of these people are short of evil, but beyond ignorant. And screw them, you can't fix stupid peacemaker for you, says. Yeah, well, I think it goes beyond stupid because some of these people, in all seriousness, some of these people that I'm describing are not stupid people. They're very intelligent people. I once had a very two-hour in-depth discussion with a broadcast engineer at the radio station one time after the show. And she is a wonderful person, highly intelligent, but absolutely in the category that I was talking about. Willing to admit that some of the places the left has taken things as wrong, but still sticking up for all the leftist garbage that has been foisted upon our culture for 50 years, 60 years now, and now it's come to the point where it's so totally gaslighted that they'll tell you the sky is green instead of blue, and you're supposed to believe it, like we are with this election fraud business. Oh, nothing to see here, they all say, just like all the, and everybody goes along with it. The court goes along with it, you know. All the whole media won't touch it, not even Newsmax. Newsmax has given up on Trump. You got a couple of hosts that are some of the weekend guys are great on Newsmax, and Salcedo's my favorite. And Greg Kelly's not bad, but I think they get all these guys are duped on the vaccine thing, and that's another thing I wanted to talk about real quick. I have to say that I think Trump, his biggest mistake was buying into this idea that if he could rush the vaccine out, he could end the lockdowns and end the reason for people to be scared of the COVID-19, all that stuff. I think that was a big trap, and he fell right in it because, after all, he's good at a lot of things, but he's no scientist, and neither are the rest of us, by the way, and that's why, you know, they get away with this crap that they pull on us because they convince us that they're the experts and that we should listen to all the medical information. But really, if you go ahead and do some of the research yourself and you find out the other side that gets suppressed about the question of vaccine, even the 150-year-old medical technology that is the classic vaccine technology, the, you know, irritate your immune system into fighting this new pathogen. There's many, many problems with that. Enter the flu shot. You know, of the 100 strains that come through every year, the flu shot might protect you against about 4 of them. And in the process, it's going to reduce your immune system towards all the other ones. I've taken a flu shot 3 times in my life, and every single time I was deathly ill. More ill than if I would have just got the flu. So I've been taking a flu shot since 1986 or something. And nobody's putting a needle of any kind in my arm without my consent. And I do not consent to the mRNA vaccine, which is a mutagenic agent that they want to inject into everyone. They want to change your DNA to create a protein that will fight off this phantom virus that is not killing anybody. What sense does that make? This virus has a death rate of, they're getting it wrong. They're saying it's 99.7. It's actually 99.97% death rate. Now, that's 3 out of 10,000 that test positive are dying from COVID. Now, here's the thing. The PCR test gives, it's been determined that 94% of positives of the PCR test are false positives. So you have 6 out of 100 that test positive that actually have this virus, but that's not even true because many people say they've never actually isolated this virus. Only the components that are supposed to be present when the virus is present is the only thing that they've actually come up with. If you listen to John Rappaport or you listen to David Icke and these people that are a hell of a lot smarter than I am about this kind of stuff, they get into all these details about this and they claim there isn't even a virus called COVID-19. And so I'm not sure about that. I kind of think it's a modified cold virus with the HIV carriers and these other chimeric markers that have been spliced into it. I kind of think it's that. And Pecan Sally, sir, you have the correct information. Retired medical professional. Thank you for the backup. I do appreciate that. So, you know, my good friends, I'm no medical professional. All I am is an old bastard with a big mouth that pays attention to politics and current events and culture and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that's my specialty, okay? I study that stuff. I studied history, which is gives you the roadmap of what you can see up ahead. It's not exactly the same, but you see the patterns repeat themselves. And these medical Nazis that want to inject you with something that's going to change your DNA and make you a genetically modified organism is not something you want to do, in my opinion. Now, you don't have to listen to me. You can go ahead and take the shot if it makes you feel better. But, man, I think it's thalidomide number 2 or worse. If you don't know what thalidomide was, it's a chemical they were giving people for some damn thing. They were given pregnant, and they found out in pregnant women, that's where they got all those birth defects with the poor kids that had little flippers for arms and all that kind of stuff. And they finally put 2 and 2 together after a whole slew, a whole generation of birth defects was created by this thalidomide stuff. I think this could be worse than that. You have the immediate reaction to the vaccine where people are passing out and Bell's palsy and the HIV testing positive for HIV and all that kind of stuff that's happening is, oh my God, you know, and Trump, my whole point that started me off on this, Trump got this stuff wrong, in my opinion. I understand what happened, but I'm with Alex on this. And you've heard, if you listen to Alex, you know what he says about it. You know, Trump's not a scientist. He got this wrong. He was kind of hornswoggled into getting into the race of getting the, you know, trying to end this horrific stranglehold that the COVID fear has on the people of the world. Except the people in the medical industry that they aren't taking it. That's why you see the damned... You see the damn videos of people taking a shot with a needle that has the plunger down and nothing in the needle, and we're supposed to buy into that kind of stuff, okay? And even if they do shoot somebody with something on camera, how the hell do you know what's in that needle? There is nothing true and nothing is to be trusted in this day and age. This is 21st century warfare on the people. This is what it looks like. It's no longer, you know, I spent a lot of time this weekend watching World War II films on Newsmax, because that's very valuable stuff to know and get the parallel of how the Nazis were with what's going on with these medical Nazis we have now. Bill Gates is not a scientist. Bill Gates is not a medical professional. Bill Gates isn't even a software engineer. He stole MS-DOS and then built Microsoft with his daddy's money, who was the head eugenicist in the United States of America. Bill Gates has no business telling us we want to put his patented pseudo vaccine in our system. God knows what's really in that crap. I'm not taking it. I can tell you that right now. I've had enough vaccines. You know, I had the ones that we got in as kids in the 1960s. I got I got polio vaccine, and I got, what other one? Smallpox, the one that leaves the big scar on your arm. I got the smallpox and the polio, and then I've taken 3 flu shots in my life. I'm done with the shots from these medical tyrants that are controlled by Big Pharma. No more for me. You can do it if you want. If it makes you feel better and makes you less scared of the COVID phantom, go ahead on you. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't stand up, where do you think they're going to stop? They've already went public and said, well, getting the shot is not going to stop the lockdowns. It's not going to stop you can't hug your family. It's not going to stop you can't sing in church or even go to church. Where do you think this stops? It doesn't stop, my good friends. It doesn't stop until we stop them. Even if this thing was killing 5% of us, you can't hide from a virus. Everybody's going to get the freaking virus. This vaccine cannot work on an RNA virus. This 95% effectivity, do you know how they come up with that figure? They say it's 95% effective of you getting sick from the virus. That's where the 95% comes from. Well, guess what? 95% of people that test positive with COVID don't get sick from it. So what good is this stupid virus doing stupid vaccine doing anyone? The answer is it's not. It's freaking Frankenshot. And if you take it, you've been duped. Even if you're a wonderful person who's just scared of COVID, please hear my plea. Reject the medical tyranny. Reject the Frankenstein put into your system. This is not what you want to do. Now, there's a whole nother school of thought that says, well, we should, you know, alter our DNA to fight off viruses and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. Okay, you can believe that crap. You can believe these crazy ass scientists if you want. But I'll tell you what, I do not trust people. I trust basically, you know, very few people. And medical professionals that are telling me to inject an untested RNA, quote-unquote, vaccine that is going to alter my DNA. No, thank you. I don't even eat GMO. I don't want to be GMO. Anyhow, Pecan Sally once again said, again, you're right, sir. Well, thank you very much for the backup because, you know what? I've been looking into this stuff. I am only a layman. I am only a layman. I am not a medical professional. I don't want to give medical advice. My advice is on a spiritual level. Do you want your DNA altered by, you know, Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates? No, thank you. Anthony Fauci is a hobgoblin that belongs in a penitentiary, if you ask me. All evidence. Okay, if he's so great at solving medical problems, he's supposed to be the great hero of the AIDS era, right? Well, how's the AIDS vaccine coming along after 40 years? Oh, we still don't have one. Isn't that interesting? Listen, if you buy into this stuff, it's only because they've made you so afraid of a modified cold virus. Listen, I think I've already had it 3 or 4 times, to be honest with you. And it's not that big of a deal. I don't know because I'm not going to get tested. And I will not get tested. I will not take the vaccine. I will not be tested. I will not be contact traced. And by the way, that reminds me, I made a mistake. Me and Mama went to a restaurant and we got caught up in the new deal with the QR code with the menu stuff. No, 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 no. Don't ever do that. That's how they get you in their contract list. Always ask for the menu. Don't let them get in your phone. I already made that mistake. Now I have to use one of those InfoWars Faraday cage pouches that they sell for $20. Well worth the money, by the way. And I don't get paid by InfoWars. Trust me. So I have pontificated greatly. I'm going to play you a little slight interlude of Christmas music. I'm going to take about a 90-second break, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk on the chat for the rest of the show. It's the Article 5 Hour. I'm JD, and I want to thank you for being here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just taking a little break because we've been on the air for an hour and 10 minutes now. I'm going to give you a little Christmas jazz, and I'll be back in just a few minutes on Article 5 Live. Thanks for being here tonight. All right, thanks. I'm back, as you can see. And I will really appreciate all your comments. I've had so many. I've lost track of them. So you guys like to comment in real time while I'm talking, and it's let's see if we can go back through some of these. Wow. Well, there was Ladine. I tried to see if she's still there. She said everything's absolutely crazy. The 14th Amendment will be used, says Robert. 14th Amendment, and then the 12th Amendment will take hold. That's probably true. I don't think there's going to be the martial law option. I don't think. I certainly hope not. And Robert says he's given the Supreme Court one last chance. Yeah. And like I said, Marissa says she's out of Marissa Bishop of Bishop Ammunition Manufacturing. I want to tell you, everybody should go to bishopammunition.com and check out Bishop Ammunition Manufacturing. They're a longtime sponsor of my old radio show. Take a look at their catalog, and they have some ammunition. I think they have some left. I might be wrong on that, but you can check it out. BishopAmmunition.com. And their motto is God bless the Second Amendment. So give Marissa and Diane Bishop some of your business. So that would be my comment. And welcome back out of Facebook jail, Marissa Bishop. I don't know why they put you in Bishop. She's the one that, in jail. She's the one that had those bumper stickers, those great bumper stickers that were red, and they had a hammer and a sickle, and it said, Joe and the Ho, 2020. And she was selling them for $5 or something like that. It's pretty cool stuff. Right, we got to clean the GOP out, everybody's saying. All right, Robert says he was at the Island Picks online this weekend. Robert, what are you talking about? What island? Merry Christmas to you, Ladine. Deborah says she'll drive. New truck. Let's go to D.C. All right. There's another thing. I'm serious about the D.C. thing. If you guys are serious about going to D.C. and doing a Western kind of a caravan thing to get there, let's organize it quickly. And you can go to, if you want to contact me, you can text that number right there that you see on the screen right now. Text me at 480-455-9923. Or you can send me an email with all of your information at Article 5 Live, just like the show's name, at gmail.com. Let's organize and see if we can get enough people to do a caravan to D.C. And especially if you're familiar with D.C., you'd be, you know, road captain. All right. California, D.C., I'm game. Let's go. I'll drive to AZ and pick up anyone who wants to ride. All right, Deborah. All right, maybe we'll do this. Trump won. Of course he did. I think it was in Mississippi. Trump 2020 will always be president. Leslie. Mitch and wife has CCP ties. He needs to go. Yeah, no kidding. All right, Robert's giving us the links here. You guys can Epic Times. If you don't subscribe to the Epic Times, you probably ought to. I get the newspaper. Now, it's hard for me to read a newspaper because things are happening so fast. If you if you're not plugged in to some kind of electronic media for 15 minutes, you might have missed the last major bombshell. So it's hard to read a newspaper, but it's good to go back and reorganize what has happened in the last week. So I do subscribe to that paper. We must support our president, indeed. Right? I was talking about third party. We need to concentrate on fixing the Republican Party. I agree with you guys, and you guys seem to agree with me on that. Good deal. Let's see. What else do we have here? Yeah, a lot of Robert says a cold day in Hades before I take the vaccine. It's bad and it's causing many people get sick. Some have died. That is absolutely correct. You're not hearing a lot of that. And screw them, can't fix stupid. Yeah, well, maybe you can. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to fix stupid here. You know, maybe if we save one person's life with this broadcast, we've done something. And I particularly appreciate Pecan Sally. You have the correct information, retired medical professional. Pecan Sally, if you wouldn't mind following me and, you know, distributing, show, tell people about the show here. You know, people need to know. Let me, All right, thank you. All right, Justice Roberts was on Epstein's Island. Oh, okay, that's what Robert was talking about. Justice Roberts was on Epstein's Island. Well, that wouldn't surprise me at all, you guys, because, you know, I don't know. I haven't researched that. So if you want to look into that, great. If we do go to D.C., I'm going to try to pack up some portable means to do the broadcast on the road. So when we get to D.C., we're going to be going live on all these platforms and doing the broadcast live from D.C. I'm going to be doing that sort of a thing. So that ought to be interesting if we go. I don't know. I don't know yet, but I'm leaning towards going. And if we get enough people that want to go, all right. Mike says maybe I'll meet all of you. I'm working. I'm going now. Yeah, this is serious business. If there ever was a time to show up in D.C. for a good cause, it's to support President Trump. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that it's come to this, because if they didn't steal the election, well, you know, that can work both ways too. You know what? It might be fortunate that they stole the election, because look how many more people are woke up by that. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, somebody a lot smarter than me once wisely said, life must be lived forward, but is only understood in reverse. So, and even if you don't understand it in reverse, you certainly can't, you got to live forward anyway. And it's just like your plans. You know, a lot of times God will just laugh at your plans, but you just can't, because of that, you can't just not plan. Because sometimes, you know, you need a plan. You know what they say? They say, plan the work and work the plan. But the best laid plans of mice and men, you know? So, you know, all these things are true. All these cliches are true. So it's really, really incumbent upon us to support our president at this 11th hour. You know, it's really quite possible that President Donald J. Trump is on the, you know, 99-yard line, about ready to plow into the end zone and be re-inaugurated for another 4 years. And I'm here to tell you a couple of things. First of all, if that happens, that's not the end of our problems. Number one, there's going to be a hell of a lot of unrest if that happens. Number two, he's not the panacea for the ill that faces our country. Now, we have a good chance that our great president, who belongs on Mount Rushmore, by the way, and I hope that after he lives another 40 years, that they, and he passes away, God help us if that ever happens before 40 years from now, but they ought to chisel the likeness of our great president on one of the spaces left there on Mount Rushmore. You ever notice how there's no Democrats on Mount Rushmore? Isn't that interesting? Anyhow, I believe he belongs there, even if he only serves one term, because he is in the top five, if not in the top three presidents of these United States. And the reason I say that, why do I give him such a high rating? Because in the face of all this adversity, he has tried to do the right thing. Now, like I said, he made a major blunder, in my view, with this vaccine push. I think that's a mistake. The other big mistake our great president has made, in my view, is not jumping on the monopolies of social media. No one company should have control over 3 billion people's data. This is too dangerous. This should not be allowed to happen. Facebook, Twitter, Google, et al. Are more powerful than any government in the entire planet. That should never be. These companies need to be broken up, just like Standard Oil was at the turn of the 20th century or thereabouts. Don't quote me in the timeline, but somewhere around there, that John D. Rockefeller had too much power. Now, the left will most of the time demonize all the robber barons of the Gilded Age and shortly after, you know, the Vanderbilt and Chase and the candy moguls and all those guys. But if Henry Ford, these people weren't all bad, but they were very, very powerful. And that with power comes what did Lord Acton say? Anybody know? What did Lord Acton say? Who knows what Lord Acton said about power? I'm willing to bet every one of you making comments knows what Lord Acton said. I'm waiting for somebody to type it though real quick. Deborah wants to talk about Harris and why she's still sitting in her seat. Well, I mention that every week, Deborah. And the reason I believe she is not sure she's going to be vice president, plus there's another more practical reason even than that, is that they're hoping when January 6th comes along, and if she can remain in the new Congress, in the 117th Congress, if she's still in the Senate on January 6th, because she really doesn't have to relinquish her seat until inauguration. So she'll be still in that seat doing a placehold for the Democrats, hoping that there'll be enough turncoat Republicans that they'll get a double negative on the challenge to the Electoral College votes from the various several states that have dual electors. So if she can vote against that and be in the Congress still on the 6th, they're hoping that Romney and, you know, the Alaska woman and the woman Collins up there in Maine, if these people will turncoat on America and vote against the dueling slate, i.e. the slates that were sent by the various state legislatures pursuant to Article 2 of the United States Constitution, rather than the governor and the appointed you know, the appointed electors for representing the false results of the election in the several states. And that's right, Robert. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That was the reply. And there's Dale also. Mr. Producer comes up with it at the same time. That's correct. So that is the reason. I think that's the main reason Camel Toe has not given vacated her Senate seat, because she needs to be that Democrat placeholder in case, you know, there's enough turncoat Republicans to have a double thumbs down from both the House and the Senate on the objection to the governor certified slates, which we're not going to know how that's going to turn out until we get there. Now, I heard Ivan, I forget his last name, the lawyer that's on InfoWars, the bald guy that used to be an Army Ranger or a Green Beret commander, and now turned lawyer on us. No, but he's a good guy. say that if we have one House that votes to dump the electors, like i.e. the Senate, and the House of Representatives with a few Democrats in the majority votes to uphold the governor-certified slate of electors, then you have a conflict when it comes back to the bicameral House with Vice President Pence, the president of the Senate, presiding. He can call for the vote to be one state, one vote to decide the question. Now, I didn't, in my research, and I read the entire U.S. Title III of the U.S. Code, and I didn't see that in there anywhere. I didn't see that anywhere in the Constitution, but I didn't see anything against that in the Constitution or the Title III of the U.S. Code either. So here's the thing that I conclude over that. As president of the Senate, he has the power to do that. I believe that this Ivan, I forget his last name, but he was just on the latest show, and he was on with Deanna Lorraine a lot of times on the night show on there on the band, on the folks at band. So I do believe he's presumably correct about that. So therein lies our greatest hope. And that's why Camel Toe is hanging on to her seat in hopes that there's a couple of turncoat senators like Mitch. If you could get Mitch, you can get Romney and Collins and somebody else. Even if we win both senators in Georgia, the Senate will still vote down the alternate slate. That could happen, too. That's when we get really mean. That's why we're going to D.C. to try and help make sure that that doesn't happen. Because if there's 10 million of us outside the door, they might be a little afraid to do the wrong thing. I believe that's the whole point of the president asking us to join him in D.C. Did I miss anything, guys? Hit the comments real quick because they're getting ready to close down the show for this week. It's been my honor to be with you on this Sunday before Christmas in the year 2020, in this momentous time in our history. It's been absolutely wonderful to have all your interaction, all you people paying attention, all you people that love America, that want to do the right thing. Reach out to anyone you know that is unsure about what they should do. Reach out to those that are on the left that will still listen. Doesn't the U.S. governors who are reportedly shown in the data? Oh, yes, that is the one thing I want to cover quickly. Let me read you something really quickly. Now, I haven't researched this myself, and I've only got one source, but the source is the Hal Turner Radio Show has published this email. It says that here's the headline. U.S. state governor's names on China Communist Party membership list. And he gives a compelling case of why this might be true in the text. And I just want to go to the list quickly because we're going to close out the show here directly. But I want to say who's on the number one on the list is Doug Ducey, Arizona. Mr. Hutchinson. Mr. Newsom. No great surprise there. Lamont. Grisham. Scott. No surprise there. Reynolds. Raimondo. Ricketts, Carney, Holcomb, Sisolak, Lee, Bashir, Little, Bullock, Brown, Fitzker, no surprise there, Edwards, Abbott of Texas, Waltz, M.A. Baker, N.C. Cooper, and Utah Herbert. Well, my only question would be, where is Cuomo? Where is Northam? Where is several other? Where is that witch from Michigan? Why aren't those people on there? Would be my question. I don't know if that stuff's true, but it wouldn't surprise me. Here, my whole point of bringing this up, not having researched it myself, is this. We live in a day and age where it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility that all of those people I just named could be members of the Chinese Communist Party, and they're governors of our states in this great country. That ought to scare the crap out of you. And that ought to be enough for you to get out of your comfort zone and meet me in D.C. in a couple of weeks. So there you have it. So anyway, I love you guys. It's been, like I said, my honor. Once again, I wish you and your family a safe, happy, and merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah or whatever you guys celebrate. I want you to pray for our country. If you believe in that kind of stuff, pray for our great president, who I believe is still trying to do the right thing, my good friends. And don't lose heart. Everybody's saying let's go to DC. Not everybody, but quite a few of you said that, so it's a good possibility. May God continue to bless you, your family, these United States of America. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we'll see you next week, God willing, right here on Article 5 Live. Thanks for being here with me on this fine Sunday night. Appreciate each and every one of you. Love you. And let's make this stuff happen. So, until next week, God bless.